Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, welcome to Be Love, Do Good Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Hayes. I have a co-host today. It is my cat who is sitting in my lap, as she always does, and tries to sabotage all of my interviews. But today she did not sabotage this interview. This is an interview with Sierra Lane Myers, and she is the co-owner of Intentional Counseling. She's a counselor. She also wrote the book Glasses Off, Seeking God When Your Vision Is Gone. We talk about vision and purpose and how do we find that. A lot of times as parents, as mothers, sometimes we feel like we lose that in our parenting. Some of us who maybe have stayed at home and worked from home with our kiddos and trying to figure out what we want to do and what we're great at and how we can add value to the world. You know, they say that the biggest question that people have is, what is my purpose? What is my impact? Why am I here? And so we really dig into that today. And I think it is going to be especially good for parents to hear this one. And I think the answer will actually surprise you of how to find your purpose, how to find your vision. I loved this interview so much. It is so much of what I believe in and what I have found in my years of being someone who loves to have a purpose, who loves to have an impact. So I think this answer will kind of get you thinking and maybe be different what you think you're going to hear. I hope you enjoy this interview with Sierra Lane Myers. Hey, Sierra, thanks so much for being with us on the Be Love, Do Good podcast. I'm so excited to talk to you about your book, Glasses Off. Your picture on there is so cute. Seeing God When Your Vision Is Gone. So tell us a little bit about you and why you decided to write this book.
Well, thank you for having me. I am a pursuer of Christ. I try to hang out with him every day. Every day it looks different, but I tried life without doing that and it didn't work out so well. So that's my main thing. And I've got two kiddos, two girls. One is 10, one is 4. And my husband and I own and operate a little family business together. We have a counseling practice. So we get to help people, which is really cool. And I've got a big fluffy dog behind me who's about 7. And I guess that about sums it up.
I love it. Where are you located right now?
We're about 30 minutes north of Dallas.
Okay. So you're close to me. We live in Waco. So we were just in Dallas this weekend. We are there almost every weekend for soccer, because when you live in a smaller town like Waco, you go to other places to play. So that is what we do. So I would love to just dig in, because I have lots of questions for you, just about your book and being a mother. And you talk a lot about vision and purpose. And I think that's something as moms, I've heard from many. I am I guess, middle-aged mom. Is that what you call it when you're like 45? Five-ish almost, a middle-aged mom who, you know, maybe sometimes I've heard from different peers who have maybe stayed at home with their kiddos and they're kind of coming out of that and they're wondering, like, what is their purpose and their vision? Or those who, younger moms who have this vision and purpose that they've always had, but then they have kids who kind of come and be a part of that. So tell us a little bit of your kind of journey with your purpose and vision and why you decided to write this book.
So I will just be honest. The title of the book totally inspired the whole thing. I'll give you some context. So I was obviously operating this counseling practice. I was raising these kids, and I was also blogging and doing licensing images and things for brands. And I felt the word stop. on my spirit. And I knew it was in regards to the digital work, not the practice and not the family. And I kind of ignored it. Well, I did ignore it. I ignored it for a year. And I was just like, Lord, that doesn't make sense because it's honorable work. And to be honest, it just started making like a decent amount of money. So I was excited and right in the middle of it all. But it never left me. It just stayed there. So it's just kind of like a whisper, just kind of persistent. And so I'm like, okay, this is from God. So I stopped the digital stuff, which I'm sure as someone in this space, you know that it's kind of over when you do that. Because there's no momentum. There's no, if you're not
right.
Yeah. So I didn't feel that peaceful. I felt kind of like it was irrational. And I was kind of angry praying at the Lord. But I was also meeting with him every day. It gave me more time to actually listen to him instead of being so busy. And in one of the times that I was kind of griping at him, I felt him give me this book title. But I was not an author at the time. And so I went to Amazon to buy it. I typed it in and nothing came up. And then in the recommended books that Amazon gives you, it said it was all like physical eyesight. It was like optometry. So I jumped.
Because what were you looking? Like what was your Google, like glasses off? That was.
Yeah, glasses off. Okay. At the time, God gave me how to see God when your vision is blurred. And we've since changed it a bit. You know, it was a working title. But so I was typing this in and I'm like, oh, the Lord is going to call, like he's going to take my vision away. So I'm researching.
You catastrophized real quick.
Yes, I totally did. I went to the worst, you know, jumped to the worst conclusion. And I'm like researching how to tell your kids mommy's going blind and all this stuff. And then I know it was intense. And then thankfully the Lord revealed to me pretty soon, like, no, it's not that serious. I just need you to write a book with that title. So I started writing like as if, like, what is an author supposed to sound like? So I went to the kids' playroom upstairs and overlooked our neighborhood and had my laptop. And I was like, peering through the second floor window, the fog, you know, just like making all this weird stuff. And I thought, I feel so misaligned. I'm just going to write what I actually need to write. And so I entered a pretty big writing competition and I got in. And it was kind of an intense 10-week program. And they had us summarize our writing into one word. And I asked my husband, like, you've read all my stuff. What do you think this word is? And he had not heard the prompting from the Lord, but he said vision. Mm. Well, that's also what the Lord gave me. So I was like, okay, I'm writing about how to execute on a God-given vision and practical steps, because that's what I needed at the time, because I had thrown one of my businesses away. And so he was revealing all this stuff for me. And now I'm on the other side of it. And it's really cool to be able to use it for the benefit of others.
Yeah, I love that. Tell me a little bit about what you learned as you were writing that. Is it something that you already knew what your vision was or that God had given you? Or was it something that you were learning along the way? Or was it just something that kind of came to you? Tell me about that process.
No, I wish I knew. I had to do a lot of homework. I felt like I was absolutely drowning in all of the societal terms, purpose, calling, and vision. And I just thought, these are such lofty concepts. Like, and a lot of my friends weren't freaking out about it, you know? And so I've decided that the people that have this sort of conviction inside, that we need to pay attention to that, because other people don't have that. They are doing.
Explain that to me. Tell me what is that inside?
Like if I would ask my girlfriend, for example, like one of my best friends, do you feel that the Lord wants you to do something, but you can't quite decipher what or how to follow through? And she'd be like, nope, I'm good. Like I'm a teacher and I'm loving it, you know, or I'd ask my parents and they would be like, no, we all want to follow our purpose and our dreams, but no, we don't have this like very big sense of urgency that you're explaining. And so I just decided to start digging into those societal terms and wondering, like, are these actually scriptural? Are we supposed to find our purpose? And after about a year of reading a lot of dictionaries with, as it pertains to those words, and the Bible, every single scripture, corporately and personally, where those verses are found, and then all of the history and context, I was like, Lord, I already have like the high level focus and philosophical mind. I need you to make it super practical for me so that I can write about it. And he gave me a very basic visual diagram. And I know it's from him because I actually don't learn in visuals. My husband does. My children do. But I learn with language. And it was just, it's such an elementary triangle, and it's so profound that I condensed all of that into chapter 2 of the book. You want me to talk about the diagram?
Yeah, I would love for you to talk about the diagram.
So God just told me, write the word God at the top, and at the lower point of the triangle, write the word Jesus, and on the far point, write the word Holy Spirit. I am the creator of all time, eternity, matter, energy, and out of me, everything flows, including Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's why I have you write them on the bottom of the triangle. Draw a second triangle, and at the top, write the word purpose. You no longer have to find your purpose. The word purpose is, for me speaking, I can't speak for anyone else, but this is what he gave to me. I want you to look at it as daily communion with me, learning me, loving me, sharing me with others. And out of our daily time together, your callings and visions for your life will be revealed. And so I made a third triangle where I put the word why at the top. And so if in the second triangle, if you have the purpose at the top, then why is at the third triangle? It's the reason why we get up every day, the reason why we play the game. And then the Lord said calling is not really a career. That calling is the space on earth where I want you to live out my love. So it can look different in different industries. You're not called to one job title or industry, and it's ever evolving. And then the vision, the word vision, write it on the bottom vertice of the triangle. And it is the playbook or the how, the very specific assignments that you live out the where to the why.
I love it. I think if once people get your book, excuse me, they will definitely see all of this, but I want to kind of condense it of kind of what you're a little bit saying. And this is so interesting that you're saying this. I'm smiling because I'm probably like you. I love a purpose. I am the one who all those self-help books, it's like, find your purpose, find your mission, find the thing. I'm like, yep, I want to know all of it. I want to know what it is. I want to do it to the best of my ability. What exactly is it? And this Sunday, I spoke at a church about mission and vision because they had their missions week. And I know that they probably wanted me to speak on how I found my mission. I've done a variety of different things with the vulnerable and the marginalized. And I just kind of threw it all out and said, I think we get so wrapped up, and this was me, as a college kid, everyone's asking, what's your purpose? What's your mission? What's your vision? What are you doing? What's your next step? How are you serving God vocationally? You know, all those things. I went to Bible school. And you get so wrapped up chasing the mission and the purpose for your life that I said, I'd like to propose something else, that you chase Christ and you do not chase the purpose, because we miss it. And so when we are, what I have found too, and this is so interesting because I had not read this when I had done this, but we are saying the same thing, and I love it so much because I was going to ask you about this if you were on the same page as me, is that when you are so, if your goal is Him and the being with Him versus the do, and I had a real big wake-up call with that about 10 years ago, that you become so entrenched and intimate with Him, that when our goal is Him, that our life becomes, our entire life becomes this missional life. And when we start to see people and love people and notice people the way that God notices people, that becomes our purpose. And then we get to see, yes, I am in a role right now that is my sweet spot, that I do feel so very purposeful in. But I also have purpose in other areas too. So I'm totally vibing with what you're saying, and we're on the same page, which I think is so awesome. And I think people need to hear, because I'd love to ask you, just in your research of this book, why are people not so obsessed, but why do we feel like we can't figure out, or we get distracted or confused on what our purpose and mission and vision and all those big words that we hear all the time? Why are we so consumed with that?
Well, for me personally, it was because I was not listening. I was not praying for confirmation. I was externally processing it with my friends. I would feel something, I'd talk about it. I didn't go to God with it. And we know we don't have power unless we pray, you know, over a vision. Years ago, I read the Bible to try to grasp his will. And he was like, my will is in 1 Thessalonians 5. It's rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances. And I'm like, okay, got it. And so when I just kept waiting for him to be like this sky genie and lay out a blueprint, and that didn't work. So then I just started meeting with him to discover who he was. And you're exactly right. Then he started to give me revelations that I didn't know I wanted anymore. I didn't even care anymore, but it was so ironic. And I wrote in the book somewhere that I stumbled into intimacy when all that I was looking for was information. Because it's true. But then once we actually put into practice the listening, the praying, like my husband prayed in high school, tell me what you want me to do with my life. I did not. I was super involved. I was busy. I prayed to the Lord, but I didn't pray for that. My husband did for a long time. And at 17, he got the word people on his heart. He didn't get a career or an industry, just that one very vague word. Mm-hmm. And so my husband chose to be a counselor and never looked back, but he could have been like, we could sell the practice. He could become a doctor. The people, the calling is still there. It's that space he's living out in. And for me, it took me a long time to discover that mine was creating something from nothing. I mean, I had to really do my homework on myself. I asked my parents how I was when I was younger. I took notes. I observed myself as a third party. I wrote a pros and cons list of all my past jobs and decided the common thread was I've been creating products. I've been even creating a home, creating humans, creating the atmosphere of a family is so important. And creating these books now, I'm writing my second book, creating our business. And so I can even not get paid to do that calling, but I do feel like I'm called to create something, even if it's not my job, which is so freeing.
Right. Yes. And I think gives people that are listening a little bit of relief in their soul, because I think what I hear so many, and if you could speak as a mom, when we have kiddos, some of my friends are, work from home moms. Some of them are full-time working moms. And I think we have this purpose as a mother, but then there is something inside of us that God has created us, maybe that we are also supposed to give to the world. I understand how much of a challenge it can be to keep your family focused on Jesus during the Christmas season. Even with the best intentions, the hustle and the bustle of the season can get the best of us. It can feel like a challenge to find really great resources that point our kids to Jesus and not just presents during this season. I want to let you know that Christian Parenting is releasing a new Advent devotional made just for kids to help with this. Jesus, Light of the World, will help kids understand how Jesus was a light that came to heal and save a hurting and broken world. Each day of Jesus, Light of the World includes daily scripture, a devotional to help kids develop a deep and personal relationship with Jesus, engaging activities, a prayer, and a go activity that encourages kids to take ownership of their faith in their everyday lives. It's a great tool to help you teach your children the true meaning and significance of the Christmas season. For more information and to get your copy, head over to cpgive.org. Again, that's cpgive.org. So talk to me about that. Did you struggle as a mom kind of coming into who you were? I like what you kind of said, some of the practical steps of, hey, I started to really get to know myself, because I get the question all the time. If I have a really good friend who, you know, was with home with her kids and that was what she really felt called to do. But then when her kids went to school, she was like, I have some stuff to give to the world, but I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what I like. I don't even know what I'm good at anymore. So can you talk to that person that might be listening?
Yeah, I definitely think our dreams change. I know my dreams started changing after I had children, after marriage. And I think once I started to shift the focus from me to others, it was really helpful. Like, God woke me up one morning at 4 a.m. and on my heart, I just felt like he said, it's not about you, it's about providing value. And I was like, okay, yeah, serve others. Yes. But the more I meditated on that, I thought that changes literally everything. Because if I wake up and just go, hey, with my one gift, I can do this one thing to serve one person, and the dream is no longer about what I get. It's all about giving to someone else. Like, I don't have a gift of hospitality. I would say it's not a strong gift of mine. I would love to. I work on it. I research it. I invite people. I try. But I've got a girlfriend who's so supernaturally gifted at that. And she just knows when I need a coffee or a flower, and she'll drop it off at my door. And that one gift and that small service is so meaningful. And so I think shifting the focus from, like, how can we get and fulfill our dream to how can we give, it was transformative for me, at least.
Well, I also like that small thing. Like, you know, I think a lot of times we get caught up in this big, audacious, we have to do this, or we see someone on stage and we're like, oh, I could never do that, or I could never start the nonprofit, or I could never do that. And that's just some people's wheelhouse. And then you have some who are like, I'm more behind the scenes. Is that still making a difference? You know, is my vision not big enough, or my purpose? Does it feel like it matters? Can you speak to that, to the people who might feel like they're comparing themselves to others and they're like, I'm not as impactful or influential? I mean, just that story right there, what you said is your friend who has a gift of hospitality is giving you these gifts that mean the world to you. And that just comes naturally through her. And in the grand scheme of things, that would not be on the front page of a paper that was her purpose and mission and she did this. But to you, it meant everything. So can you talk to the person who might be comparing their purpose to other people's?
Yeah, I would say it's pretty normal just because we have eyes and we can see other people out in the world. It's very typical for us to compare. I also think I compare myself to myself, my future self, my expected self, even more than I compare to other women. But I would say God is so close to the brokenhearted. And so if you're brokenhearted, just allow yourself those feelings and then be able to use that as your opportunity for growth, and you don't have to stay there. I would say you're not childish if you feel that way. I would say it's probably the Lord stirring something in you, and to pay attention to that and then pray specifically that God would reveal things to you. And also to find your, I call it my daily date with God, my DDG. And I kind of just said, when I first started that, I said, for 60 days, I'm going to meet with the Lord, and it can look different every day. And I'm going to allow his grace to be present. I don't have to do a strict routine every single time. Because, you know, we are busy and we do have children that are dependent on us. And so I met with the Lord every single day, and that none of these visions or real concrete tangible things would exist without the listening and without taking the time in prayer.
I love that. Two things out of that. One is, if I asked you this question, I think I would know your answer. But if someone is out there saying, okay, I'm in a space where I just don't feel like I'm doing my purpose, or I don't know what I was created for, what would be the one answer that you would give them? Where to start?
What do you think my answer is?
Well, I think it's going to be meet with Jesus. I don't think it's going to be here's the diagram and here's the other thing. I think it's going to be meet with God and make that intimacy with him first and foremost before you start doing the other things. That's what I would think that you're – just from the just small time that I've met you.
Totally. And then also, if you are meeting with the Lord every single day and it is something that you are pursuing and you have been for years, then I would say you can do all the things that, you know, I did, which was – okay, I wrote down a list of all my dreams or thoughts, or maybe they're from God, or maybe they're my own fleeting ideas. And then out on the side of it, I wrote a sense of urgency and conviction I felt to pursue it. So like, for instance, I had an idea to open a lavender boutique down the street because I think it would be really profitable in our area. There's this beautiful little building. Anyway, but it's not like kingdom work necessarily for me. And so my sense of urgency to complete that dream would be like a 3 or a 4 versus write this book that I had to get out. It was definitely from the Lord. It's a 10. Or if somebody's trying for their baby or they want to buy a dog or all of these things, you can kind of, the urgency, the strangeness to them, if they seem out of the blue, if you're spending time with the Lord, all of these things are indicators. You know, can you use your gift to provide value? Is it hard? That's normally another one. It's not usually the good things are hard. Mm-hmm.
I think that's great. And I think, and it's not like you can't go back to the lavender boutique. And it sounds like you're a dreamer. Like for those of us, I'm a dreamer too. So I have like 27,000 things that I'm going to do before, you know, for the next year. And so yes, whittling and editing those down is important because we can't do all the things. And for those who maybe aren't dreamers, but just have this sense of like, what am I supposed to do? Is my life mattering? I think that's the question we all get is, what does my life matter? And so just, I love just the first part of meeting with God. And I'd like you kind of to go into that because I love the thing that you said at the first is I met with him differently every day. And I think for those who are new believers, or even if we've been believers forever, we have this, maybe if you haven't grown up in church or know what it means to have a relationship with God, it can be very intimidating when you hear people talk about how they meet with God, what they read, how they pray. Because for people who have not grown up in that, that's very intimidating. And so it's like, well, I don't even know how to do that. And then sometimes there's these structured ways that people say, well, this is what you have to do. You got to pray for 30 minutes and then you got to do this. And then you got to get up at 5 a.m. and then you have to do this. And it feels so structured or so rigid that you're like, I'll never be able to do that. So I love how you were creative and said, I meet with him. My goal was to meet with him every day because I wanted to know him, but I did it different every day. Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, I kind of just coined it my daily date with God, and I really took it literally. And I thought, well, how do I date my husband? Like, we keep it fresh. We don't go to the exact same restaurant every single date. We have something, maybe we'll go on a picnic, we'll ride bikes, whatever. So I kind of decided to do that with the Lord and keep it fresh and build a real intimacy to it instead of just a routine. And it was so freeing because like for me, so I have epilepsy and my trigger is being woken up out of REM sleep. So 5 a.m. for me, I'm no good all day long. I may have a seizure. I won't be able to take care of my kids. And so I really, I decided the most important thing for me in my daily date with God was presence of mind and awareness. It didn't matter if that's midnight in my bed or if it was 3 p.m. waiting for the kids, or if it was 9 in the morning. The most important thing to me when I was building that habit was that I was present and I wasn't just doing it, because there's something to be said for obedience, but I didn't want to be resentful.
Sure.
So I was obedient in the, let's do this for 60 days, but it doesn't have to look the same. So some days I journaled. Some days it was a devotional and I lit a candle and I had some hot tea and I made it a thing out of it. Some days it was a nature walk and just like noticing things I wouldn't notice before. Some days it was doing a devotional with my 10-year-old and sharing insight with her. Sometimes it was just a worship song in the shower or whatever.
I love it. I love just the differences. And I hope people listening can kind of hear that our God is this creative God. He is not this rigid, structured, you have to do it a certain way. And for those who have maybe been in situations or churches or someone who's kind of said that, I think that does a disservice to who God really is, that he is this big creative God and he loves to be with us in all different ways. Kind of my last question, Sierra, and we could talk forever on vision and purpose and all the things, because I think we're similar in being dreamers. But what is one thing that you would love for people to walk away with after they read this book?
I hope that all the readers walk away with different things. So I've had some people text me, hey, I feel like I should build homes for the elderly. Hey, I feel like I should, this has encouraged me to do the Disney travel agent service that I've wanted to do since I was 5. Hey, this has inspired me to allow myself to have fun in my calling instead of it just being all work and no play. Everyone has said different things. So I would hope that the Lord meets them in a fresh way, that he gives them insight, and that they take the dream from a selfish act of being in their heart where no one can see it to being a little awkward and being a little humble and putting yourself out there and whatever that looks like and making it God's vision, which by definition is manifestation of the immaterial to the material. So I hope the amazing thing isn't that I like wrote this book. I hope it's that they read it and do amazing things in their homes and towns and churches.
You know? I love it. Well, tell us where we can get the book and where we can connect with you.
You can get the book on Amazon, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, if you prefer electronic. I'm more of a paperback girl. I like to break the spine and dig
Me
in.
Too.
But and then my pen name is my, you know, social and my website, sierralanemyers.com.
Awesome. Well, we will put everything on the show notes. Thanks so much for giving us just permission to dream and kind of going through of how to do that, how to find purpose in Jesus. And I really appreciate you being here. And I thank you for just sharing your gift with us. Appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope you took away that really to find our mission, our vision is to just be with God. And the thing that I talked about last week in a message that I gave at a church that they wanted me to come talk about vision and mission is instead of spending all this time chasing purpose, chasing our purpose, that we would just spend that time chasing after Jesus. Because when we chase after Jesus, when we spend time with him, all of our purpose and mission flows out of him and out of that. So I hope this encouraged you. I encourage you to get her book, Glasses Off, Seeing God When Your Vision Is Gone, and you can get that at Amazon, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you like to get books. Thanks so much for joining us. Thank you so much for giving us your time. I hope you have a wonderful week, and thanks for being love and doing good in your family and in your community. Have a great week.